Our gospel lesson this morning comes from Matthew's gospel, chapter 5, the first 12 verses. Hear the word of God. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain. And after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." The Gospel of the Lord. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Those words from Matthew's gospel, commonly known as the Beatitudes, begin Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. They're the preamble to the time when a really large crowd gathered to hear Jesus at the beginning of his ministry. Through the Beatitudes, Jesus proclaims what is, in the light of the kingdom of heaven, unassailably true. They describe the purpose of every holy law, the foundation of every custom, the aim of every practice of this new society, this colony of the kingdom, the church called and instructed by Jesus. Now, since these words serve to launch his ministry, you could consider this Jesus' inaugural address. I will admit that I was surprised to hear this passage read at the inauguration as I watched it on TV last week. It turns out, though, that this passage was also read at the inauguration of Harry Truman and George H.W. Bush. Jesus' words stayed with me into Saturday as I had the privilege and honor to be a part of the Women's March in Washington, D.C. Along with our daughter Margaret, I was in a group of 10 people who left my sister's home in Silver Spring, Maryland, very early Saturday morning. Our group was made up of female and male, gay and straight, married and single, young and middle-aged, white and black and brown, students, employed and unemployed, East Coast, West Coast, and Midwest. As we crammed into the metro car, I was surprised by the variety of folks and the number of pink hats that I saw. One woman beside me, whom I did not know, said that this was the first time she'd ever done anything like this. And this was a sentiment I heard over and over throughout the day. A group of women behind me started singing a civil rights march song. As people got on and off at various stops on the way into D.C., "See you at the march" was the mantra. You've seen the pictures, and some of you, I know, were in D.C. or in Albany or in New York City. Raise your hands if you were. You know what an incredible gathering it was all over the world. Size alone, it was one of the largest gatherings of humanity on a day in all of human history. As we moved from the metro stop to the rally, I was struck by the variety of people and signs and the festive mood of all gathered. By 9 a.m., we were in our patch of the street that would become our home for the next 5-plus hours, 4th Street, just a bit north of Independence Avenue. And from that vantage point, we heard and watched on the big screen a variety of speakers. We tried to dance to the music, and then we began to march down Pennsylvania Avenue. That may not sound like a lot of fun to cool our heels for 5 hours, but the whole event was a privilege. Truly, it was a privilege to be there because I know that there were lots of people who would have liked to have been there, but life didn't allow them to be there. An honor because as I walked down Pennsylvania Avenue surrounded by people, I could feel the hope in the air. I could breathe in the hope that something new had been stirred, and it felt again like the country I had known most of my life. I'm sure you've seen the photos of the myriad of signs. Most signs I agreed with. I knew my Gentile Virginian upbringing would never allow me to carry a few of them, but I was thankful that others were able to, because their messages needed to be heard. People marched on Saturday in D.C., in Albany, and around the world on every continent for a myriad of reasons. There were many causes represented at the march: LGBTQ rights, women's rights, belief in science, education, environmental concerns, Black Lives Matter, people wanting economic justice, just to name a few. And we were all there. We all wanted the same thing: freedom for all people, equal opportunities, protection of the vulnerable, and the right to live our lives to their fullest potential. One cause supports another, and we were there together. Now, I have heard complaints about the march being divisive and partisan, and some of you may feel that my talking about it from the pulpit isn't appropriate. But I chose to march, and I choose to share with you because as a Christian, I am called to witness. Witness to the good news and the truth that Jesus embodied in the flesh. I'm called to proclaim a God whose promise of liberation from all that binds and oppresses human beings is most important. And I am called to bear witness to what I've seen and what I've heard. For me and others, the best part of the march was seeing people from all different races, religions, and beliefs come together to be heard. Men and women marched, little babies and grandmothers. I even saw some four-legged marchers with signs on their backs. It was an extraordinary day. As Rabbi Sharon Brous put it at the rally, sometimes, maybe once in a generation, a spirit of resistance is awakened at the intersection of love, faith, and holy outrage. This is one of those sacred moments, she said. Today, around the country, we, the people, stand together in protest, proclaiming our fidelity to love over hate, progress over regress, and inclusion over exclusion. I said I was privileged to march, and I chose that word intentionally. As a white, female, heterosexual Christian, I am privileged. And like many on Saturday, I can no longer hide behind that privilege, allowing others to suffer. God calls us as Christians to speak out for those who cannot speak, to call out incidents of injustice, to speak the truth, and to call a lie a lie. As Jim Wallace, executive director of Sojourner, said, "This isn't and cannot be a political or partisan issue for people of faith. Truth-telling is a matter of faith for us and a fundamental principle of how we hold politics accountable. We cannot let our knowledge of both objective scientific facts and deeper spiritual truths to become casualties of this administration." He goes on to say, "The free press has a critical role to play in protecting the truth, but so do people of faith and conscience." In the gathering in D.C., I felt that Christ was present. How do I know that? I heard his beatitudes. When I heard over and over again the refrain, "I've never done anything like this before, but I couldn't sit still any longer." And I was so discouraged, but this was the tonic I needed. And ever since Election Day, a dark cloud has hung over my head. Today, the sun broke through in Washington, D.C. What a great time I had with millions of others. And I heard Jesus say, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." I listened as Ashley Judd, a rape and incest survivor, shared how she again feels assaulted by the words which she had heard from our president about women, as well as the men around her who now feel empowered to demean women. And Jesus said, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted." Up at the microphone, I heard 6-year-old Sophie Cruz tell the crowd that she had joined the demonstration to, quote, "make a chain of love to protect our families. Let us fight with love, faith, and courage," she said, "so that our families will not be destroyed. I also want to tell the children not to be afraid because we are not alone." She said, "There are still many people that have their hearts filled with love. Let's keep together and fight for our rights. God is with us." And then she said the whole speech in Spanish. Then Jesus said, "Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth." Angela Davis was one of the speakers, and she said, "At a challenging moment in our history, let us remind ourselves that we, the hundreds of thousands, the million of women, transgender, men, and youth who are here at the Women's March, we represent the powerful forces of change that are determined to prevent the dying cultures of racism, heteropatriarchy, from rising again." And Jesus said, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." I heard about a group of women who were able to be there only because their community had come together and gathered funds for them to come to Washington. And they marched for mercy. And Jesus said, "Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy." I saw children of all ages with homemade signs. I recall one picture I saw of a toddler on her father's shoulders holding a piece of cardboard on which she had colored. No words, in fact, nothing you could make out as an image, but definitely an image of participation as she rode upon her father's shoulders. Another young girl held a sign that said, "I'm black, I'm Muslim, I'm woman, I'm all of the above." Jesus said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God." I witnessed a group of Muslim women on the parade route who were approached by a group of Jewish women, and they embraced. Jesus said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God." In this age of social media, many people who marched on Saturday have suffered because of the comments made to them on Facebook or to their face or in other settings. There are those who wanted us to be silent and so have gone on to attack those who walked. And Jesus said, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account." Changing the world, saying what upsets you, pointing out what you believe is wrong, truth-telling, all part of peacemaking. And peacemaking is dangerous business. Putting ourselves in a position to be called blessed takes courage. Doing justice, loving kindness, and walking humbly with our God might lead us to unexpected and hostile places. But it is the only thing that can move us forward. Amen.